welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
When I was talking to the Lord this morning, he just brought two passages of Scripture to me, and I was, in reading them, aware that I needed to share them. I believe that this is for somebody, including me, but I was impacted by the Scripture. I'm turning you to Psalms 37 and verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. This happened quite early this morning. I'm sure you know this, I've read this many times, but I heard the voice of the Lord as I read it. Verse 5, commit, that's roll over your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass, the way you want to go, what you want to reach, the objective you have. And it seems like everything is in its way, stopping you ever getting there. And He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Don't get anxious. And wait. That's a hard word for a lot of people. Wait patiently. You know, only faith can wait patiently. Why is that? Because faith, true faith, expects. True faith believes God completely. True faith believes that God will never fail His word to someone that dares to stand upon it. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Don't get fretting about it. Don't, that scripture that we've just read there, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man that brings wicked schemes to pass. Don't stop fretting because you're in your mess, and I'm not addressing any particular area of life. I'm addressing a principle. Because in whatever situation you are found, and we all have situations, there are circumstances in every one of our lives. It's what we do with them that's important, and how we handle and face them. Every one of us have them. But don't fret, and again, to take you to that that phrase there, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. You know, when you're in a situation or a set of circumstances that you're trying to change and get out of, it is very easy to see others who are not in that set of circumstances or going in a different way. And it's very easy to just get annoyed. Get annoyed with others, get annoyed with God because of your circumstances. What I want to tell you, one with God is a majority. And that one is any one of us and anywhere. It's your God, it's my God. I want to tell you, He is my God. Can you say that? He is my God. I'm just saying. For every one of us as a believer, we have to stand tall, we have to act like we believe it. He is my God. I don't know what's happening in your life, but He is my God. Whoa. And I want to encourage you with that. Roll it over and leave it there. Wait patiently. Wait patiently. Your God and mine, He is not a man that He lies. He brings it to pass. And He knows how to bring it to pass. He knows when to bring it to pass. It's been well said that God is never late, and He is rarely, if ever, early. He is right on time. You won't have to live to say, Lord, you failed me. And the other scripture that God put in my heart was Psalm 62. In Psalm 62, in verse 5, says, my soul, now you're talking to you. You're talking to you. Now you remember that your soul is part of your spirit. Your soul is not part of your brain. Your soul is not part of your physiological makeup. Your soul is part of your spirit. Your mind, will, and emotions. God is a spirit, and God has mind, God has will, God has emotions. It's part of the spirit, your spirit, the spirit of God within you. And so, going back to verse 5, my soul, mind, will, and emotions. Bracket those three. My soul, you're talking to your mind. You're talking to your will. You're talking to your emotions, your feelings. Wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Verse 8, trust in Him at all times, you people. Never stop trusting. If you do, if you say something's negative, you stop trusting. As soon as you come to your senses, say, Father, I'm sorry, forgive me. Forgive me. God is a very present help in a time of need and trouble. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Father, this morning, I just thank you for your word, and I release it into the lives of any and every person that requires to hear the assuring promise that you have made us. Now, Father, we thank you that there is teamwork to be involved in. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to flow with you and you flow with us. Father, it's for us to bring to you, but Lord, it's out of our remit to bring about the change or circumstances that are required. You have promised to do it. Father, I release revelation truth into every person that this word was intended for today, and that out of this you will have the glory. There will be those that will testify to your greatness out of a peace and a joy, even in the midst of despair, knowing that you're God and that their praise will be lifted high. Their mouth will be filled with confession that your God, their God, is faithful. Father, we thank you for that now as we receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I was going to continue. You may have thought I'd forgotten that we are dealing with a series on a sound mind. I was going to continue this morning with that, but I just sensed another direction. And it's really based upon next week. Next week. As David has also already introduced us to, is a celebration of an awesome event. When God so loved us, gave His only Son for us, and He in turn gave His life for us, unreservedly, without any questions nailed to your door or mine. And I was praying about this morning, just clearly realized that today I was to speak about love. Because what happened at Easter, as we celebrate as Easter, was, if anything, love in action. It was nothing but love. I want to tell you, love has changed my life. Not only because I'm passed from death to life, but love has changed my attitude. Love has changed my attitude to people. Love has changed my attitude to those that come and do me wrong. Love is the greatest. There is nothing greater than love. what we humans seem to find, and even we Christians, is how hard it is to love in today's society. Well, I sense that our society probably is maybe a little bit better than the one that Jesus came to, but he still made manifest it. So I want to turn you this morning. Firstly, I wasn't going to, but I want to turn you just to read through. I'm not going to comment on it. I do want to turn you to 1 Corinthians 13. I want us to get a glimpse of what love looks like. The God kind of love. The agape love. So will you turn with me in your Bibles? I remind you again that this is a feeder service, right? And my responsibility before God is to make sure all of his family that's gathered in this place this morning is fed. And so you need to get over this, not just listen to me. You need to listen to me and, or listen to God, what God's saying, and back it up with the Word. So 1 Corinthians 13. And, I'm going to read the whole chapter. I will emphasize a few places. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. That's a big one. I've just nearly choked there. Love suffers long and is kind. You know, whenever we try to change what Jesus is saying here by our circumstances, you are challenging God. Your circumstances will be changed by love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. I'd like to encourage you to, when you get home, take that word rudely. And if you need to do a study on it, do a study on it. If you need to go to the Hebrew, the Greek, go to the Greek. So you understand what sort of behavior the Lord is speaking about there. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest is love. There is no one sitting in this congregation this morning that's born again that cannot stand to their feet immediately, jump on the stool that they're sitting on, and clap their hands saying, Amen, that is true. God so loved me because I was part of the world that he gave his son that death might be arrested and my life totally changed and reclaimed. Hallelujah. As we read in the Psalms, we don't have to live according to the circumstances around us. Love is the greatest. I'm going to turn you now. I just wanted us to remind ourselves of what love looks like. I encourage you to go through your Bible at home, maybe, and just go through there and underline what it does look like. So you can, it can help you live your life, a life of love. Goodness knows there are enough circumstances around us today on the planet and with each other that at times doesn't make it easy to want to love the way God says we should. Something comes up, and I think, I sense it's that spirit that Jesus bound. But somehow it seems to want to climb up within us and say, I have a right. Thank goodness that Jesus did not do that. He said, Lord, if there's some other way to avoid me going to this cross for these people, please tell me. But if there's no other way, don't do it my way, do it yours. Love is the greatest. There is never a time, let me say this, where you and I include myself in it, where you and I have a right to say that does not deserve me to love him. I want to tell you, if you do that, you crucify all of us. Because there was none worthy of redemption. None. None. Love is the greatest. What happens when love starts to be made manifest in our lives together with one another and with the world? Do you know what will really change the world? And do you know what I believe it would be the biggest net that it could be out there to win the lost? The net which is called love. When they saw the church love, not with a filial love, but with love of another kind. The God kind of love. The agape love. Whoa. Love. So I'm sharing this because this is lining us up with what and who Jesus was and did as we celebrate that next week. We are part of that now because we're in his body. I want now to just turn you and make some observations from 1st Epistle of John, chapter 4. 1st Epistle, remember, not chapter. 1st Epistle of John and chapter 4. Now there are three epistles in John, 1st Epistle, 2nd and 3rd, of course. This is 1st Epistle of John, chapter 4. You have it? Can we put that on overhead too, maybe, if you could? I'm going to read from verse 7 through to verse 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved, but God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the reconciler, the reconciliation. He reconciled our sins with himself. Wow. That he, for his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Isn't that awesome? Only Jesus and what Jesus came and did reconciled your guilt and my shortcomings with God the Father. We celebrate it next week. We celebrate it, we Christians, every day. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love God, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now remember, it's talking about love. There is no fear, verse 18, in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. That's another one of those words you should look up in the original Greek. Hate, what does it really mean? You might be surprised. You might to that word say, well, I don't hate anybody. Well, be interesting to see what they're really saying. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. That's a powerful passage about love, as you are aware of. I have no intention, and I know you'll say, oh, he shouldn't say that, but I have no intention to be ministering long this morning. I just want to, as well as I can, communicate what God has me to say in relation to this passage. For me, this passage is perhaps one of the greatest passages in the Scripture concerning the way our lives are to be lived as Christians. And the reason for that is, God lives in us. Others see God through you and through me. Others don't see God through our preaching, particularly, but they see God through you and me. And the biggest message that's heard is probably, and the loudest message of love is probably experienced and heard by the person who receives a show of love from you, whereas normally they would have been receiving the butt end of your reaction because of what they said, did, or what didn't do. And it's harnessing that, and you can only harness that by the love of God. For that to happen, we have to be continually acknowledging and thankful and grateful, because we are living with the revelation day by day that he loved me. I love him, rather, because he first loved me. There'd be no ability within me, no awareness within me, but he loved me. Coming into my life, he changed my life. You've heard me share it many times. I'm not going to go there again. But my life was changed when I met the Lord. Changed. And I'm still on a journey. I'm still on a journey. I'll only be truly perfect when I get to heaven's glory and I've got my celestial body. I'll only be then perfect. Today, I am perfect in Christ, but there's a lump of flesh here that struggles at times. Anyone find that to be true? When I was reading this, it really struck me. I'm going to take you just two or three steps through passages, parts of this. I want to take you to verse 8. He who does not love does not know God. And this is the biggest one. For God is, not has, God is love. Every Christian here knows that phrase, that statement, at least, if they don't know where it is. God is love. There could be no better description about God than that. Wherever you find God, you'll find people blessed. Wherever you find God, you find people encouraged. Wherever you find God, you'll find people delivered. God is love. He is love. And he sent his Son to be a revealer of that love. Again, we celebrate that next week. We can never really get to the bottom of it. We try to celebrate it. We do it by singing songs and speak out the words of what he has done. But the greatest way that you and I can celebrate it is working at being an instrument through which what Jesus demonstrated is able to be demonstrated through us. For God is love. There's a scripture, I think, let's see, in this passage. It's verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Whoa. That's some scripture. You should underline that. Just go and chew on it. Don't take it at surface value. Chew on it. And God is love. God is love. And we that abide with him, in him, he abides in us. Oh. For God is love. That's what we've just read there. That means that any true believer is daily practicing being God. Think about it. God is love. And he dwells within me. He that abides in him, he abides in us. You know, how do you see love? If you look at God, if you could go looking at God, you wouldn't see him. It's invisible. This God who is love, you cannot, it's invisible to you. And yet, he is not invisible. You can see the results of who he is. It's like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see its effect. And when we're walking around as those who are believers, those who believe the word that God is in us, the very hope of glory, and we are in him, then that means love is in us. And if love is in us, then the world should be able to see God, because God is love. And the love that we have received is the love that has been given to us and not given by man. The love of God is the love of another kind. It's not the love of man to woman or woman to man, parent to child or child to parent. Those words are very different Greek words, and they speak of the relationships in the human family. But when the Bible speaks about God is love, he's speaking about, and using another word, it's the word agape. And the only way you can really, really communicate that word in the Greek, agape, the only way you can really describe it, the only way I found, is to say this: it's love of another kind. It's rare. It's rare, but should be found in the body. It should be found in the believer. Because if I abide in him, he abides in me, and he is love. He cannot be in me as love and not have an effect. So for the life of every believer, we should be endeavoring day by day, and I suppose hour by hour, to be like God. Remember, God doesn't, the scripture doesn't say God is, when it describes God, it doesn't just major on his what he has done or his abilities, his strength, his power, and so on. It describes him, one of. God is love. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 that we've read told us love is the greatest. So for you and I as an individual, it's the greatest thing we can reach out for. You know, as again, reading here, reading the passage and just meditating on it yesterday, I was made aware of Jesus, and because Jesus, God sent his son Jesus. He said, if you've seen the Father, Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And by the way, let me just remind you that the scripture says in Exodus 1:26-27, it said, we're made in the image and likeness of God. Sin changed that image, broke that image. But praise God, as we sang this morning, death has been arrested. Hallelujah. We've been set free from all of that. We are restored as newborn, again, believers. We are restored to the image and likeness of God. Thank God for that. And God lives in us. And so God living in us should have an effect on people outside of us. Is that right? So we should, as believers, we should be constantly engaged in being like God. For God, if you describe God, the only way the scripture describes God is as a person is love. If I'm like God, then you're going to be looking for some love from me, because that's who God is. And I'm going to be looking for love from you. I'm going to be looking for you because of something I just did or did the other day, or it slipped out my mouth, or I accidentally or on purpose even did it. And you come round to my house and you're ready to, you know, and you know that you will love me. You will let him who is in you, when the world starts to see that in you and me together, when we start to enjoy that in our one-on-one relationships, when we function that way with one another, we're going to start being amazed. We're going to start growing in God even more. Whoa, how they love one another, as the scripture says. And when we start to get amazed with each other because of how we're loved, not because we really deserve it, but love is flowing, the world will start to see it in us. You know, when I was reading through that, I became aware of Jesus, two aspects of Jesus, who was carrying the love of God to us. First one is that he withheld nothing. He was willing to give himself completely and unreservedly because he's love. Nothing held him back. Nothing stopped him. He didn't even reach out for an excuse, but yes, Lord, I don't mind dying for the good people, the nice people, but you know him and you know her. I can't do that. No, he withheld nothing. The Bible says this, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that none of us should perish, but all to come to the knowledge of God. We're talking about love. We're talking about the love that should be in every believer, and it should have an effect upon others. People should be saying of one another, how they love. How they love. Can I challenge every believer here this morning to put at the top of your agenda to let there be the evidence of God's love in you? There's no higher agenda you and I can have. Love is greater than miracles. Love is greater than any spiritual power. Love is the greatest. We've just read it. It was love that saved the world. Love saved the world. My Lord. Let's bless each other and save each other from hurt, embarrassment, difficulties. Let's save our friends, our neighbors. Let's save the world from all of those things which they have by way of accusation against Bible-believing Christians. Let them see that the one thing they'll only ever find is love. You can't cross from one side to another without a bridge if you've got a crevice down there. You need a bridge to cross. There is no greater bridge than love. Jesus withheld nothing. And you know the second thing that Jesus did that I observed that he did, that, about his love? He didn't only not withhold anything. There was no demand made at all. There was no demand. Love was totally free. Totally free. There's a scripture as well in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I'd like to go on further, but I'm not going to. I just want to address what the scripture's communicating to us about Jesus. I've already said that he withheld nothing back when he went to that cross. And I should say this, the second thing I think that hit me about Jesus is this. Love is not earned. You don't love because you like the people. You don't love because they're your friends. You don't love because they're very nice people. But God's love was totally free. We were all measured the same, and every single one of us were able to partake of the same measure of love that anybody else could. Didn't matter who we were, what we had done, what we were like, what our future was going to portray, didn't matter. Now that's the love that's in you and me if we're born again. The world needs to see an effect of that in your life and mine. In fact, it needs to start in the church. It needs to start in the church. Until the time comes when the church is not getting hurt by each other, but love. Love. You know, as I was meditating upon this yesterday, I really saw that the greatest arm of evangelism, yes, is the church. But we go out there trying to reach people, but you know, and we should, the Bible says we should, but you know, the greatest vehicle to reach the lost is love of another kind. Blows their minds. I want to tell you the best place to start practicing that love is in the house of God with one another. The people outside will start to say, and they'll hear us commenting maybe about what happens or what happened in church or what happened with this person, that person, say, well, how they love one another. Love is the greatest. And what I've said this morning is hardly a drop in the ocean in comparison to the event that brought us to a place where next week we're going to celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't even begin to hold a light to it. Because I'm going to say it again, every true believer should be acting like God. Because God is in us. God is in us. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at BangerCommunityChurch.com. or find us on Facebook.